Donato Cove Coviello, you're in a black sheep run for mayor. This isn't the first time you've been on a ticket here in Santa Fe. What else have you run for?
Well, you know, early on I ran for the Metropolitan Water Board. I ran against Phil Griego, our senator, in the last at-large election for city councilors here in Santa Fe. It was declared by the Attorney General that he had to run against me, and I went surfing 2 weeks before the election, got 3,000 votes. Unfortunately, he got 6,000 votes, but it was a great election. I've been involved in about six or seven, maybe, campaigns here in Santa Fe for city councilors, and they all rocked as we're rocking the Casbah. I like that tune, man. Around here playing the fake piano, you know, I'm bouncing around playing those jazzy changes.
It reminds me of that scene in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I hope nobody was out there doing that in their car, you know, playing on the top like John Candy in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles out there. So not a newcomer to local politics, but this is your first mayoral run here in Santa Fe.
Right, but I ran in my hometown of Milford, Connecticut for mayor. An interesting race. I said that I had been living on an island off the coast of Connecticut for 10 years, and about 600 people believed me and voted for me. But anyway, this is a little bit more serious, heady campaign, the one that I'm in right now, because I'm running it without money. And I'm doing it to show people that you can be involved in politics and not be bought off by the corrupting influence of money.
Really?
Now my opponent, who I'm sure you'll have on here, it raised $104,000. This is in the first reporting period of this campaign. So it's astonishing that there's going to probably be at least $250,000, maybe even $500,000 spent on campaigning. And I'm going to be competitive. I may not win, but I'll be competitive. It'll be astonishing that I'll get a certain percentage of the vote, and I won't spend a penny.
Now, is that because this is Santa Fe? I mean, is it because it's the density of the population, the way the town is somewhat isolated up here in northern New Mexico? I mean, they're spending $70 million and up on governor's races in places like New Jersey, even local city council races in large townships in New Jersey go well above that for city councilor seats. So is it because Santa Fe is such a small community that a non-spending candidate like yourself can garner any votes?
Well, no. I think Santa Fe is interesting in that it's a government town, and that the people who are not bellying up to the public trough or public workers or people living off government, there is a smaller group. But in a race like that started out to be six people in a race, that if I got 15% of the people who don't like government, you know, we're tired, we're cranky, and we don't like government. And I represent a kind of a constituency of artists, too, that's a large. And I'm a cyber candidate, which the other candidates are not. You know, I spend a lot of time running my campaign, and I do well in forums. So I'm running a very specific campaign, and if it snows, I will be your next mayor, because all my crazy friends will have to go out and get their medicine or get their food or get their whatever, but they'll make it. They'll vote for me if it snows. So I'm praying for a huge dump around March 7th so that I'll be your next mayor.
Well, now, also, too, I mean, you know, if you're talking about having the people who don't like government come out and vote and artists and people like that, isn't that traditionally the people who just don't vote out there anyway? I mean, how are you going to mobilize a population of what are probably recognized slackers as far as civics go?
You know, I went to the College of Santa Fe, and they had an incredible voter registration drive there. And there are a lot of young people here, especially college-age people, that want to be involved. And I would rather be supporting a candidate for a young candidate, but they're not out there. But I'm showing them by example that you can go out there and run a competitive, and you can get quoted in the paper. If you really compete in your head and in your heart for that job, money is not going to win it for you. I can lose it myself by what I say and what I do, but money cannot win it when I couldn't, if you know what I mean.
Now, this is very interesting. Again, we're talking with Donato Covello, mayoral candidate here in Santa Fe. Of course, this was a last-minute guest for us tonight, so I'm going to issue a press release and invite the rest of the candidates, if they're listening, are welcome here on the program, Active Voice Radio, Friday night, 6:30 every Friday here. But you know, when you talk about that cyber end of your campaign and talking about going online, having that be a cheap way and maybe having more young people involved, first of all, how old do you have to be to run for mayor in Santa Fe? Not sure if you're the right one to ask this, but also, you know, do you think that your work with blogging and things like that makes it easier for young candidates, you know, very young candidates, well under 30, to run for city council and mayor and the like?
20. Under 20, Chris. When I was a substitute teacher at Capitol High, I tried to convince the president of the student council there. He was 17. He was going to be 18 by the next election. So you can register. If you're going to be 18 by the time of the next election, then you could register. So we had a young judge here, Judge George Anaya Jr., and he ran at 20 years old and became a municipal judge. Astonishing. And so it I think age isn't anything except around – I think around here the government people, the people that are actually working for government, have a lock or at least an inside track because there's so many of the voters are institutional voters, state workers, county workers, federal workers, school board workers. They're all institutional workers. So the people I'm talking to are the people that are in the private sector. Younger people, people that mom-and-pop businesses, artists, like I say, and those people who believe in less government. I come from a very progressive liberal background, you know, all the way up to Jesse Jackson. But to me, I see a need for somebody to at least put out the word less government because everybody in Santa Fe says that the solutions can be solved by just more government.
Oh, but wait, hang on now. Isn't that in less government, the conservative viewpoint out there, conservative with a big C?
Yeah, well, you're right. I should be on Rush Limbaugh instead of you. But it makes sense when they start to intrude and they head towards the libertarian aspect of my campaign. I call myself a responsible anarchist. So I'm coming back from a position of an anarchist to come back to be part of the political process. Now, I know there's a lot of compromise. You know, if I had my way, I'd fire every single person in the planning department in the city of Santa Fe. We've got enough plans. The heck with it. You know, but there are huge areas of money. You know what the budget is for the city of Santa Fe?
What's that?
They spend over $215 million a year, $65 million a year just to operate, $76 million on enterprise funds, $50 million to build things. It's a huge, huge operation.
Donato Covello, candidate for mayor here in Santa Fe. Other candidates, welcome here on the program, Active Voice Radio. This is the show, 6:30 every single Friday here on your public radio station, 90.7 FM KSFR. Coming up for you here in just about a minute, we have World Technology Update. Stay tuned. You're back live here in the studio with Active Voice Radio. Your Friday evening program coming up for you is KSFR News at 7 o'clock, followed by Soundtracks and the Best of Broadway. All great programming all the time here on your public radio station, KSFR. Now, we're joined here live in the studio with Donato Covello, one of our mayoral candidates, our black sheep mayor. Is it okay that I call you the black sheep mayoral candidate?
Absolutely. But I'm if you just wait a second, I'm just firing up this chutie.
Well, here's the time to ask you. We just had marijuana policy this week. The New Mexico State Legislature has a medical marijuana bill that, passed the Senate, went into a House committee, over there, the House Committee on Agriculture and Water Resources, as a matter of fact. But, some cities like Denver, have taken on the initiative outside of their own states. Denver passed a decriminalization initiative throughout the city to treat marijuana in the same manner that alcohol is mistreated in the manner that, per se, that responsible adults would not have any law enforcement priority put upon them for using marijuana. With the medical marijuana bill in front of the state, could there be change in Santa Fe's city on this kind of stuff?
You know, I refer back to 30 years ago when I lived in the city of Berkeley, California, and the city instructed, the city fathers and leaders instructed the police force not to enforce the state-imposed marijuana laws. And that I mentioned to some kids who were asking me questions about this, because that's where I have to draw the line, and I have to really think about what is responsible. Now, any kind of program that allows for the decriminalization of marijuana and prevents kids from starting it, even if you had to register for a program. In other words, I'm a civil libertarian. I don't want the government to charge me for nothing. I don't want, but I think for a matter to get this to an equitable situation, there has to be, you have to give up something. As part of responsible anarchist that I am, that I know that there is compromise. And if, as a responsible anarchist, if there's something wrong, then it's up to me to change the law. Now, I remember when Chris Moore ran for city council a number of years ago, and somebody said to him in the middle of a campaign or a forum, and we'll legalize marijuana. And he said, oh, yeah. But then again, he went 8 years of being a city councilor and not really doing about it. If I'm out here and say I want to do something about decriminalizing marijuana use, especially for medical marijuana. Now, I've seen it work in a number of places, including in Hawaii, in Oakland, California, a couple of places where there were some bumps in the beginning. But if you really want to help people, that especially for people who cannot pay for medicine anyway, it's amazing that if marijuana helps somebody who is dying of cancer or has glaucoma, that if it helped them, that they can't get it. So medical marijuana, I'm really behind, and I'm really proud to say that I'm for decriminalization of it. And as a mayor, it's about time. It's about time that people actually talked about the subject. I've been in the middle of this campaign now for a number of weeks, and nobody's asked me anything about marijuana.
Well, it's amazing to me, because the last presidential election especially, the war on drugs has left the political landscape, yet it continues out there for the country every single day. Nobody is talking, the war on terror, Homeland Security, all these things dominate politics from even the local level. But no, nobody's mentioning this continuing war on drugs, except online. Do you see a lot more people mentioning these things online?
Well, the people online, it's a double-edged sword in a way, because people online, if they think that they're commenting, if they think they're, say, in the comment section of the New Mexican where you get to comment on news story, and that they think that they take a position, that it's sort of an illusion that they're doing something about the problem. So in one hand, yes, I'm glad that online people are talking about it and using the networking of the internet to create it. But in a way, it sort of excuses them from actually going out there and doing the hard work of going out and convincing your legislators that this ridiculous. But my end of it is also for in the growing of it. I think it's absurd that we cannot grow herbs in the ground in this country, that we have to go out and actually go out and buy it like a criminal on the street.
Well, it's interesting. Clarence Thomas, in his dissent in the Raish Monson Supreme Court decision, mentioned the same thing, that under state commerce, under the Commerce Clause, that they had in that Supreme Court case last year, it would be ridiculous to say that commerce and interstate commerce and the federal government's oversight of interstate commerce goes into what somebody possibly grows for their own own consumption in their own yard. So it's very interesting stuff. Cove, we're out of time here on the program. Donato Cove, Cove Yellow, thanks
you
so much
rock,
for joining
Chris.
Us.
You rock. What's, rocking the Casbah.
We'll give you, for more information, you can visit fatbillandme.blogspot.com. There's a link up there on activevoiceradio.com. It's Valentine's Day next week, so we need love music. And here's a nice little Valentine's Day song for y'all out there. Some Mazzy Star, Be My Angel. Stay tuned. KSFR News coming up for you at 7 o'clock, followed by Soundtracks and the Best of Broadway. This has been Active Voice Radio.